All right, welcome in everyone to Next Chapter News. We're back with another deep dive in our true crime series. And today we're heading to Charlotte, North Carolina. This case has really stuck with people there, and honestly, it's not hard to see why. It's been over 30 years since Kim Thomas was murdered, and there are still so many questions swirling around this case. It's the kind of story that grabs you, you know, a seemingly peaceful neighborhood, a brutal crime, and then you throw in DNA evidence that seems to just complicate things even further.
Yeah, the Kim Thomas case is a prime example of how justice can be so incredibly elusive. Like, we're talking decades later and advancements in forensic science and all. But the answers, well, they just aren't crystal clear.
Right. It's July 27th, 1990, and Kim Thomas, a 32-year-old woman, is found dead in her home in the Cotswold neighborhood. It's her husband, Dr. Edward Friedland, who makes that frantic 911 call. And the scene the police find is, well, it's horrific. Her throat slashed multiple times, hands cuffed behind her back, and yet her infant son, Elliot, is found unharmed. It's a lot to process, even just hearing about it.
Absolutely. And that 911 call, it's chilling. You can hear the panic, the shock, the sheer horror in Dr. Friedland's voice. And you have to remember, this is a doctor, someone who deals with life and death. But to find his wife like that, with their baby right there in the house, it's just, well, it's unsettling to say the least. And of course, the questions start piling up immediately.
Oh, yeah. I mean, where do you even begin? But before we jump into the investigation, I think it's important we talk about Kim Thomas, the person. She wasn't just a victim. She was an activist, a fighter for women's rights, a dedicated mother. There's so much more to her story. And we even have access to some of her journal entries from just weeks before her death. It's heartbreaking, but it also gives us a glimpse into who she was and the life she was building.
It's true. When you read those journal entries, it's like this stark contrast emerges. The violence of her death versus this vibrant life she was so clearly passionate about. In one entry, she talks about creating a haven, a sanctuary, a quilt with her husband and son. It's such a powerful image, and it just makes the whole thing even more tragic.
Yeah, it does. Now, in the immediate aftermath of the crime, the investigation really zeroed in on two people. You have her husband, Ed Friedland, and then Marion Gales, a handyman who had done some work for the family. Both had circumstances that made them look suspicious. So let's dive into that a bit.
Okay, so with Friedland, it's like, in a lot of these cases, you know, police are going to look closely at those closest to the victim. They find out about marital problems, even an affair he was having. Plus, there were some financial issues. So right there, you have a possible motive, even though at that point, there wasn't any hard evidence tying him to the actual crime scene.
Right. And then there's Gales. He had a criminal record and was known to be in the area. Some reports even said he had access to restraints similar to the ones used on Kim. So you can see why investigators had their eyes on both of these men. The reasons were different, the evidence was different, but the suspicion was definitely there.
It's that whole idea of trying to piece together a puzzle with only a few pieces, which happens a lot in these kinds of cases, especially back then. You rely on witness statements, circumstantial evidence, and try to make sense of it all.
Absolutely. And then the legal proceedings in this case are just fascinating. Friedland is actually arrested, but then the charges are dropped because there just isn't enough evidence to get a conviction. But later, in a civil suit, Gales is found liable for Kim's death. It's a perfect example of how criminal and civil justice are two very different things.
Oh, yeah. Big time. It trips people up all the time. In a criminal case like the one against Friedland, the bar is set super high. You have to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. And the prosecution just couldn't do that, so the charges were dropped. But in the civil case, the one Friedland brought against Gales, it's a different standard. It's called a preponderance of the evidence, meaning it's more likely than not that Gales was responsible. And that's the standard they used to find him liable.
Right. It's like two separate systems with two separate sets of rules, but both stemming from the same tragic event. It's no wonder people get confused. But then, as we jumped into the 21st century, DNA technology really takes center stage in this case.
Oh, yeah. DNA testing becomes huge in all kinds of cold cases. And in this case, they find DNA evidence on the mattress cover, the rug near Kim's body, even from pubic hair combings. And guess what? It all points to Marion Gales.
I mean, that's huge, right? It's like a bombshell dropping all these years later. It's no wonder Gales' defense attorney at the time basically said, the murder is solved. It really seemed like the case was finally closed.
You would think, right. But there's always more to the story. It's important to remember how we interpret scientific evidence, especially when it comes to DNA. So you have a match, even a partial match, and statistically that's significant. But you have to consider the context. How did that DNA get there? Was there any contamination?
That's a great point. And it turns out Kim's own sister has raised some serious doubts about the DNA evidence. She points out that the matches were partial profiles, not full ones, and she's concerned about the possibility of contamination. I mean, Gale's had worked in the house before, so it's not impossible that his DNA was there before the murder.
It's not impossible at all, and it's something investigators have to consider very carefully. And then you have Gale's himself. He's always maintained his innocence, even after serving time for a completely different crime. It just adds another layer of complexity to the whole thing.
It does. It's like, even with what seems like pretty strong scientific evidence, there are still these human elements that can't be ignored. Motives, alibis, and the constant search for truth. It's not always as clear-cut as we'd like it to be. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the big question is, where does this leave us? What does it all mean? We've got these initial suspicions, circumstantial evidence, and then boom, DNA evidence emerges decades later. But we're still left with so many unanswered questions.
And that's the thing, Rick. This case, it's not just about the facts and the evidence, it's about the people involved. Kim Thomas, her life cut short, her family left to grieve and grapple with this loss. Her husband, who's lived under this cloud of suspicion for so long, and Gale's, who insists he's innocent, it really makes you think about justice and what it means to truly solve a case. It's not always about finding the right person and putting them behind bars. There's so much more to it than that.
So true. And I think that's what makes this case, and so many others like it, so compelling. It's those unanswered questions, the human element, the feeling that there's still more to uncover. Even the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department still has this case open, officially listed as a pending investigative matter. It shows just how complex this case is.
And even if they did have enough for a criminal conviction, would it really bring closure? I mean, the DNA evidence is there, but is it enough to satisfy everyone? It's not just about meeting the legal threshold. It's about finding the truth. And sometimes even that isn't enough. It's really about understanding the difference between circumstantial evidence and direct proof and how science plays into all of this. It's a constant evolution.
Right. And for all of you listening, those of you who are drawn to these complex cases, I think the story of Kim Thomas really highlights just how many factors can collide in a single event. Personal relationships, financial stress, criminal history, and then scientific advancements. It's like a perfect storm of factors and leaves us with more questions than answers.
And those questions are important. They're what keep us engaged, what keep us searching for the truth. So as you think about all we've discussed today, what stands out to you, what piece of the puzzle is most intriguing or maybe most troubling, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department is still looking for information, anything that might help. So if anything we've talked about today jogs your memory, even a small detail, you can call them directly at 704-336-760. Or if you want to remain anonymous, you can call Charlotte Crime Stoppers at 704-334-1600. You never know, that one little detail could be the missing piece they've been looking for.
Well said. And thank you all for joining us on this deep dive into the murder of Kim Thomas. It's a case that reminds us that the search for truth and justice never really ends. It can go on for years, even decades. And we, here at Next Chapter News, will keep following these stories, keep digging for those answers. We'll be back with another case soon, so stay tuned.